Good morning, Alliance Church family. Pastor Chris here. We are obviously a little bit different today than we otherwise would be due to some of the challenges that we are facing locally, nationally, and globally. But it is our full intention to continue to engage with you in whatever way, shape, and form that we possibly can, because quite frankly, we love you. We love being a church body, and our hope and our desire is to stay on mission even as things are kind of a little bit different around the world these days. I do have a few announcements to get us started today, just because we are not meeting, formally as a body with the congregation physically together at Alliance Church. We do still have things that are going on, and we are still looking ahead to the future as we do seek to remain and stay on mission at all times. Just a reminder for you that Big Sandy Camp Early Bird registration is due April 1st. So if students are at all interested in attending Big Sandy Camp this summer, they can go online and register at bigsandycamp.com. If they have any questions at all, they can reach out to Joetta at myalliancechurch.com or look at one of the other avenues of communication to get a hold of her that are listed on the website under the staff tab. We also are looking for lawn mowing still. We are looking for one more volunteer for the summer to kind of spread out the overall work that will be required for each person. We almost have a full crew right now. We're looking for one more person. You've responded very well to that, so we certainly appreciate the care that you have for our facility here at Alliance Church. It's no secret right now that the majority of churches in the area and really churches in the nation have suspended programming to kind of deal with the mitigation efforts that are currently happening in regards to COVID-19. So our programming is suspended here at Alliance Church for both youth, children's and family ministry, and all of those different pieces for the foreseeable future. And we will continue to update you on those situations as we get more information and really assess where things are going in the future. But with that said, we want you to remain connected with us as a church body. As I stated before, we care for you, and there's various things that we're doing to try to reach out and communicate with you and be intentional about staying connected with you. If you have not given us contact information, or we don't have something on file from a former Connect card that you filled out, you can contact the church office at 320-632-3047 and speak to Dawn anytime between 8:30 a.m. and 12:30 p.m. Monday through Friday, or just leave a message. And you can also email the church office at office@myalliancechurch.com. If you have any questions about that, you can find all that contact information on the website at myalliancechurch.com as well. We want to be able to serve you in whatever way that we can. And with that said, we do still have needs here at Alliance Church. Just because things are kind of closed down right now doesn't mean that the mission at all is canceled. In fact, it's quite the opposite. We need to be intentional and creative with how we seek to fulfill the Great Commission here during this time. It's not a time to kind of check out and take a vacation necessarily, as much as it is really to lean into the work that Jesus Christ has for us here on this earth. And I'm incredibly excited about some things we have coming up with that. Though we do still have needs, as I stated, and there are still ways that you can give. We've got the shingling project coming up for the roof. We have facility repairs that need to take place. We have the bills that we need to pay on a regular basis as well. So if you at all feel led to continue tithing during this time, we certainly would appreciate that. And there's several ways that you can do that. Online, if you go to myalliancechurch.com, there is a give tab that you can click on, and you can give online. And you also have the ability through that tab to specify exactly where you'd like those funds to go. For instance, the shingling project, you can mail a check to Alliance Church here, or you can drop one off at the office between 8:30 and 12:30 and give it to Dawn directly Monday through Friday. So several ways that we can kind of still keep things afloat here at Alliance Church during this time. And we just want to continue to serve you in whatever way that we can. I've got a brief word from James chapter 2 here that I'd like to share with you about the mission. And it says this in verse 14, "What good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith but don't show it by your actions? Can that kind of faith save anyone? Suppose you see a brother or sister who has no food or clothing, and you say, 'Goodbye and have a good day, stay warm and eat well,' but then you don't give that person any food or clothing. What good does that do? So you see, faith by itself is not enough. Unless it produces good deeds, it is dead and useless. During this time, more than ever, we have an opportunity to lean into the mission of Christ. And I would encourage each and every one of you to do what you can to engage with your family members, your neighbors, to check in on those who may need assistance with various pursuits throughout this time. Take care of each other as the body of Christ is supposed to care for each other. I'd like you to bow your heads and pray with me, and then we are going to turn it over to Pastor Ryan. Father, you are in control. Lord, you love us, God, and you love this world. And even though we are in a season right now, Father, of which there are many trials and tribulations, Lord, the mission is still the same. And I pray, God, that we would never lose sight of the reality that there is hope, that there is purpose for each and every one of us, and that even as we kind of social distance ourselves and quarantine ourselves in our homes, Lord, what an opportunity to be able to engage with you, to spend more time with family, to be able to check in on brothers and sisters, forge new relationships with people, explore new avenues of communication and service. We lift up this day to you, Father, as always. It is yours, and we trust you with everything in our hearts, in our lives, in our minds, Lord. We are yours through and through. Please continue to mold us and shape us into the image of your Son. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Chris. Good morning, Alliance Church family. This is interesting. If you were here with us last week, you saw that we had tried to record this as well, and I would say we had some hurdles to recover from. And so this is basically round two for us, and we're going to give it a whirl. I think we've learned some things that we can make some improvements on. I hope that you find that this is valuable, and the changes that we make, we understand, we're going to evaluate, we're going to look at some of these things that we're doing, and we're going to make sure that, hey, if we got something we can improve on, we're going to make efforts to do that. And in doing so, I don't want us to lose sight. Chris said it well, really well, with the idea of we're not canceling the mission. We are still at our core, we're still about worshiping, connecting, and serving. This is our way to bring this picture of worship to you. We're not allowed to meet. This sanctuary is empty, and it feels weird to not have you here. We'll talk about that a little bit in just a moment. But yet we are called to worship God. We are called to worship in, and we're called to worship together. In fact, the scriptures even say we are not supposed to neglect the gathering of the saints, and the word actually refers to abandon. And so we don't want you to abandon the church, and likewise, we don't want to abandon you. It's an interesting dynamic. We're facing some really challenging, but honestly, I think it's going to be really some cool things that we're going to see that God do in the midst of this. And I think we're already seeing some of that. I'll share some of those stories with you. I hope that you're seeing the emails that I'm sending out, at least for the time being. I'm trying to communicate in pieces so that you get a flow of information in a timely manner, in bits and pieces that you can handle and process. And I hope that you get that information. I hope that you read it. I hope that you watch some of the videos that I'm showing. I'm trying to keep everything as concise as we can, but there's so much information that we're trying to flow through. But we got to be about worshiping, connecting, and serving. We cannot neglect that. And so this is our way that we're going to gather together and worship. And we might see things look a little bit different as we continue to move forward. Today, we're recording the service. It might be possible in the near future to actually be able to stream the service. And what that means is that we would actually be able to bring to you a live picture, not just recorded, but a live picture of what's actually going on, how we maybe be able to bring in live music elements where you can worship in your homes via song. And we can share the word of God together. That's kind of our heart and our design right now. My hope is that you will look at this video, that you will watch it, that you'll have your Bible open in front of you. I'm going to have the scriptures up on the screen. You're going to see, we want to try to create as best as we can this picture of what we have come to love so well, which is our gatherings together. And then we're going to continue to serve. One of the really cool things I heard this last week, we had a lady in the church. It was her birthday. They had to cancel their gathering because they were going to actually celebrate her birthday. So because of what's going on, they had to cancel that gathering. But yet what we saw was people within that group actually made and then brought and delivered a cake to her. And that's a picture of the church. That's a picture of what we want to be about. Even though we're limited and we have to have this social distancing, that's a picture of how this church has become known as a family. I don't ever want to lose that. This church has come together, and we have become known as people who love each other well, care for each other well, and I hope that you continue to do that. Perhaps we have to be creative in new ways in which we do that. So here's where we're going to go this morning. I'm going to share a few ideas, few thoughts, updates on housekeeping type things. After that, we're going to go into a brief statement on fear and what we're going to do with that fear, and that's going to be real short in that section. The housekeeping will be a little bit longer, little section on fear, and that's going to then take us into this passage of Scripture that we're going to look at as we continue to go through Acts chapter 9. And I'm intentional with that because what we see in Acts chapter 9 is this is the establishment of the church. This is what we're about, and we're studying that, we're looking at it. And the passage we look at now today, it's actually a relatively short passage, but there's something that's so pertinent with what we're dealing with. I really want you to see it. I want you to, even if you have to pause the video right now and pray, Lord, help me to see, help me to own what it is that I see in Acts chapter 9 today, then do that and then start the video again. But I just feel like that is so vital that we look at the Word of God each and every day. We're committed to that. That is part of our DNA. That's part of who we are. And we're going to continue to bring the Word of God. I know we're limited as to how we can do it, but that's one of our passions. We're going to continue to do that. So in regards to housekeeping, obviously we're making some changes to the video. I think you're going to have a much better experience with the video that we have today, much better audio, much better visual. And that goes to a special thanks for all those who are involved to help make that happen. It goes to the Nelson family. It goes to Pastor Chris. It goes to others who looked at it and evaluated and shared some of the thoughts that we had on it. And I just can't tell you enough. We have people in the church that are doing what they're doing based off of what we talked about last week, which is why do we do what we do? And it's because we love Jesus. And we've got people that love Jesus, they love the Word of God, and they want that message to go forth. And so what's happening is they're here right now putting this together so that you can worship with us on Sunday morning. So this video is going to be recorded. This video is going to be then posted. And it's my heart and my prayer that you will engage with the rest of the larger church body together on Sunday morning as we engage this together. And I'll give you this. I, myself, and I'll have my family as well, and we're going to be watching it right alongside with you. As much as I am uncomfortable watching myself in front of a camera, I feel like it's that important that I want to be a part of the church and what the church is doing. So that's one piece of the housekeeping. So here's some of the things that you can expect. I talked a little bit about the live streaming, what we want to be able to do. And the intention is that we're not just sitting alone in front of a screen, but we can envision and believe and know, in fact, in some capacities with the live stream, you'll be able to see who else is even on or how many are on worshiping together. So it's going to bring in that experience of, hey, I'm doing this right now, and so is my brother, so is my sister, and we're worshiping the Lord together with that. I realize not everyone has that capacity. By now, you should have been contacted by an elder or a leader in the church. If you have not and you're seeing this, Chris mentioned, he gave the church number. You can find it on the website as well. Contact the church office. If we don't have accurate, updated contact information, we want it not to pester you, but just to keep you connected. Our hearts are that we can do this together. So that is a piece of housekeeping. One of the big things that we value, we mentioned, is the idea of connectedness. Recently, we've had a number of people become members of the church. And we asked them the question, well, what brought you? What brought you to the Alliance Church? And what's been your experience? And over again, I'm hearing the same message. And the message is, when we come here, we feel like we were more welcome than I've ever felt before. We feel like you got something special here that's a family. And it's nothing that I've done. It's nothing that any individual has done. It's something that the Holy Spirit has really created in us. We are a family. We are the Alliance Church family. We're part of what the President Stumbo calls the Alliance Church family. And I really resonates here. And so I am just humbled and honored to have any time that has reflected in this church. And so connection is a big part of it. And it feels like right now with what's being decided is that's actually being ripped away from us. And that leaves me feeling very uncomfortable. I don't like that capacity. And I value so much being together with you that I feel like I have to do something to try to bring you in with me, because right now preaching to a bunch of empty chairs just feels hard. And so I got to thinking, as like, okay, well, how can I bring the people to me? How can I interact with them? And I thought, well, who's here every week and engaging with them? And one of them was Marky Boyington. And so what's special about Marky Boyington? Well, he laughs at all of my jokes. Some of you don't, but he does. And so he can't be here. And so I searched high and low, and I was able to find an exact replica of Marky's laughter. So now when I tell a joke, I can just hit this button. And I know then that Marky will be laughing at it. And so when I say something funny, that will be Marky laughing at all that I say. And in addition to not only having that kind of interaction, I miss seeing your faces. And I thought, well, what can I do about that? And I thought, well, one way I could solve that problem is if I went on to Amazon and I ordered a bunch of mannequins and I could stuff the chairs with all these mannequins, and I would dress them and paint their faces so they would look like different people in the congregation. Well, I ran into a couple of problems with that. Number one is apparently Amazon is no longer prioritizing frivolous spending or frivolous purchases, so it's only got to be the needs type thing. So that was a detriment right there. And then the other capacity was they only had mannequins and they didn't have womanikins. See that? And so when I couldn't get the mannequin thing to work, I just thought, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to draw on some paper plates and have these represent different people in the church. And so this represents all of the parents who, when you heard that there's not school, this was your reaction. And so I'm going to set these out in the congregation. So now I have all of these parents who just learned that there is no school. Here's a, This, I know right where I'm going to put this. This is the picture of my wife when I asked her to marry me. This was her face. It might have been my face, but I get confused. It was one or the other. This is the face of Dawn, the secretary. I know. You're just like, well, what's wrong with you? Well, truth be told, I had just sneezed on her keyboard, and I told her so. And this was the inspiration behind that picture as well. And then there was Joetta, and this is when she found out that the world was ending, and that her dog was just run over by a car, and that, you know, she had just contracted smallpox and such, and nothing seems to faze Joetta, and so she's always happy. And then this was the picture. This is Bree, their little daughter Bree. You know, with all that's going on, you know what, I make light of some of this stuff, but with all that's going on, little Bree has no idea. She's still perfectly at peace with it. And that's a beautiful thing. And I think we're going to see that actually in the scripture this morning as we kind of get engaged with it. But one of the things when it comes to this idea of connecting is this idea of human touch. You know, we're called to this social distancing, and we as humans, human touch is vital. We know this because Bruce Springsteen wrote a song about it that he called Human Touch. You know, and we can listen to him and we can know that he's telling the truth because, well, he's the boss. Okay. But there is a reality when we look at this idea of human touch, when we look through scriptures, you see it all the way through. So even as recent as what we've talked about last week, when we had Ananias go to Saul, and he had to pray for him, and he lays his hands on him to pray for him to receive the Holy Spirit. You see it all the way throughout. We saw it when Peter and the apostles went to Samaria to pray for the Holy Spirit to come on the new believers there. They laid their hands on him. We see it in the Old Testament. Isaac, when he gives his blessing to Jacob and Esau, there are separate blessings, but when he gives the blessings, he actually lays his hand on him. Human touch is so important to who we are. You take a child, a newborn, or any child, that they need to have that human touch, and we're going to talk a little bit about that here today too. But the value of human touch, and right now, again, that feels like it's being ripped apart from us, and I don't want to stay there. There's certain things we can do, there's certain things we can't do, but the picture that we have, God has designed us to have human touch, and so how are we going to wrestle with that? It's interesting, we look at this idea then of fear, and we'll talk about this in a moment, and how fear has kind of infiltrated into our culture. I think the largest attack, in the Olson home anyway, on this idea of peace, you know, how peace has even been ripped away from us. This picture of how this peace has been taken in the Olsen home has been just the fact that the kids are home from school and there's this constant fighting that we're dealing with. You know, what we find in the scriptures, and if you remember, I talked about this a number of weeks ago. We had taken my siblings and I and our wives and spouses had taken my parents to go see Ken Davis. And it was down in St. Cloud, and it was a great show. Not just because he was funny and all that, but he made this comment, and it really stuck with me. And maybe you're feeling frustrated that I've made light of some of these things, but this reality is he made this comment. He said, you know, I will not let the enemy suck the joy out of what it is I do and who he is. And likewise, I feel like this fear can do two things, and it sucks this joy and it sucks the peace away from us. And where I want us to be at the end here today is I want us to see this better picture of where that peace really comes from and how we can not only have joy even in this moment, but we can also have his peace in this moment. And some of us, I really believe, need both of them today. Some of us may be feeling like, man, I am just so worked up. I am so distraught. I am so tense. I have no joy right now, and I'm frustrated. I understand that. And my prayer is for you is that you will see this passage of scripture. You'll find like, wow, Lord, you're so good. And I don't understand why you do what you do, but thank you. Fill me with that joy so that I can be lifted up. And then the other is the idea of peace. It's like, I'm so tense. I'm so worrisome. And I just pray that the Holy Spirit, using this passage of scripture this morning, will be able to lay out for you and say, hey, it's okay. I've got this. And I just want you to envision, and we're going to talk about this as we wrap it up today, this picture of how God's arms come around us. We had that before, if you remember that, when Paul was arrested by the grace of Jesus Christ, when he had been arrested, he was captured by it. I had Brecken here, and my arms around him, and this idea of he's totally arrested, he's totally captured, he's totally engulfed. And when we are engulfed in that from the Lord, we find peace. It's a deep peace. It's a peace in our soul. So, finally, here it is. Our commitment to you is to bring the Word of God faithfully every week, and that's what we're going to get engaged in right now. And so we're going to look at the Scriptures. And just to start off, we find Matthew chapter 6. This is a well-known passage for many of us, but what I want you to see is look at, these are Jesus' words. Oh, let every verse that we look at right now, let it resonate in your heart. Because this is going to prime us for what we're going to look at in the book of Acts. And this is what he says. He says, therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink. Come on, be serious, church family. Some of us are dealing with that. I walked through the grocery store today and they still have no eggs. Yes, we can live without it, but it can't help but wonder sometimes what happens if the stores close? What happens if the shelves are all bare? I don't think and believe that we're going to get there. But even if we did, I have to look at this verse and say, all right, I'm not to worry about that. The Lord's going to provide for it. And he will. I can't say I know how, but he will. So therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, or what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? And then he gives this contrast. And it's funny because I wasn't even thinking about this verse when I had this encounter, but it happened a couple of times, once this morning and once this afternoon. This morning, as I was driving into the office, I see up right where the old Larson Boat Works used to be, which those of you who are older know where I'm talking about. For those of you who don't, it's right alongside the river there, kind of by the railroad tracks by City Hall. There was perched up in a tree a beautiful, majestic, bald eagle. He was looking for something, whether he's waiting for a fish in the water that has opened up there or just sitting there looking for any kind of critter to come by. But he was sitting up there, and I had this thought, that bird has no idea what's going on in the world, and he doesn't care. And what a beautiful picture. And the other one was similar, but it was actually when I was coming back to the office, after lunch this morning or this afternoon, as I drove by this pond, it had opened up and there was some mallards in the pond. And I had the same thought. Those crazy ducks, they don't have a clue as to what we're dealing with. And there was this there was this feeling of, oh, to be a duck. And also this like, oh, that's good. I don't have to worry because of what we read here. So look at the birds of the air. Jesus said this. He said, they do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Some translations, some different areas of the scripture actually take this and say, you are worth many sparrows. That picture of that. Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? I know that's easier said than done. And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin, and yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and gone tomorrow, and is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things. You know what that means? It means that's what our culture is going to run after. But we're called to be different. We're called to believe different. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough troubles of its own, and amen to that, and we know that. So here's where we go. We're looking at this passage in Acts. We left off. We had looked at Paul. He was converted. He was arrested by the grace of Jesus Christ. And then what we saw then thereafter, he immediately goes out. We see the evidence of his conversion. He goes out to start telling and preaching that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That who he had said before is not the Son of God. He has now been totally converted and says, yes, Jesus is the Son of God. And he's letting everyone know. It's a drastic and an amazing contrast to who he had been before. And so he goes out and he does that. And what we find is people are astonished by it. And they're so astonished that they're like, whoa, what's going on here? Some of the disciples are actually afraid of him and keep their distance. But we see Barnabas actually had no fear. And he went up to Paul and said, all right, I'll help you get to where you need to go. I'll help you learn the way. I'll help teach you as we go. And it was interesting then, too, as we see this interesting jockeying of what's going on. And we see Paul, who'd been called to the Gentiles, called to go and to follow Christ. And he's faced with this, how will I stay safe? And that's the same question. He was killing the others. And he's in this realm and in this capacity, we find that he's wrestling with the leading of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes he's bold, and sometimes he's helped to be snuck into the city through a basket that's lowered through a hole in the wall. And sometimes he's bold out in the courts and proclaiming, and then sometimes he's whisked away to Caesarea and to Tarsus. He's leading by the Holy Spirit. That's where in this realm, and as we talked about this last week, in this realm, we have to be led by the Holy Spirit. We have to trust him and say, Lord, take me where you need me to go. Help me bring to my mind now who I need to be investing in, that I can love them and love them well. One of the things that we're going to see this morning is this picture of peace. We're going to see it in this first verse that we engage in here. In Acts chapter 9, verse 31, which is right where we left off last week. And it says, then the church throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria, and we looked at all this last week, they enjoyed a time of peace. The equal word in the Hebrew would have been the word shalom in this capacity. And we look at the word shalom, and most of us are aware, oh, shalom, that means peace. Well, the picture of peace is actually a little bit deeper. The picture of peace is like to be full health, to be fully restored, to be fully content. And it really is it's a picture of the soul. It's a soul picture. And the soul of the church, and this is not an individual, excuse me, this is not an individual. This is, the language here is the corporate church is experiencing this peace. So this corporate church is basically feeling this, the shalom, this health of the soul of the church. And it's living in the fear of the Lord and encouraged by the Holy Spirit. This Holy Spirit is encouraging them day by day to increase in numbers. I think the Holy Spirit is encouraging us as well. I know of one story this last week, and I just so appreciate hearing some of the things that the Lord is doing in your lives. And I hope to open that up in the next number of weeks through some communication and through some emails where you can start sharing with the church and we can spread it out, hearing these stories of encouragement. But one gal in the church was feeling like, oh, I need to pray. Someone came to my mind. I need to be praying for them, and ended up contacting them, found out that they were sick, was able to pray for them. Also found out that they had something special coming up and was able to kind of bless them even from a distance. And it's like, that's the kind of stuff as a church that we can still do even when we are removed from each other. So let's not stop doing that. Let's continue to be the church. Okay, so we're looking at the rest of this passage. So as Peter traveled about the country, he went to visit the Lord's people who lived in Lydda. And this gives you a picture where Lydda is. We have Jerusalem here. That's where the church had been first established. Peter's been all around. He's been in the Samaria area. Well, he goes into Lydda, which is, I believe, roughly about 25 miles, kind of to the northwest here of Jerusalem. And he's basically ministering to those believers. He's ministering to the people there. And we're going to see what he does there in just a little bit. But there's going to be some other things happening here simultaneously in Joppa. And then we're going to see in a couple of weeks when they actually move to Caesarea. Okay? This gives you a picture of what's going on in that region, where things are at. So when Peter is there, he found a man named Aeneas, who was paralyzed and had been bedridden for 8 years. Some scholars believe that basically this Aeneas had suffered from tuberculosis. Could be. We don't necessarily know that. But the reality of it is he was paralyzed and hadn't been able to get out of his bed for 8 years. Aeneas, Peter said to him, Jesus Christ heals you. I love the fact that he says, Jesus Christ heals you. Peter has no power in this capacity, but he's led by the Holy Spirit. And he says, Jesus Christ, where the power is. It's not in him. It's not in you. It's not in me. It's only in Jesus Christ. That's where the power is. He says, get up, roll up your mat. Immediately, Aeneas got up, and all those who lived in Lydda, all in that region, there's this miracle. They see what happened. And they turn to the Lord. My hope and my heart is that the Lord's going to see, or people are going to see what the Lord is doing in this capacity and what we're facing, and they're going to turn to the Lord. Okay. So meanwhile, on the other side of town, in Joppa, this is kind of all happening simultaneously. And so we get this picture, and Luke kind of paints it for us, and then he lays it out, and it's kind of neat. This is so good. Understand, and I'll point out some of these key elements in here that I just really want us to grasp. In Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha. In Greek, her name was Dorcas. She was always doing good and helping the poor. And we can get kind of stuck and hung up there. Oh, she was just a good person. No, this goes to what I said last week. I believe that Dorcas was doing these things, not because she was just a kind person, but because the Lord had done something cool inside of her heart, giving her that heart of flesh, taking that heart of stone. And this is who she did. Why did she do it? Because she loved Jesus and knew that Jesus loved her. And that's where I want us to be, to know that we are loved by him and then to do these things because we love him. That is so key. And we're going to see this. It is really cool. Look at this. About that time, she became sick and died. And her body was washed and placed in an upstairs room. That's not the cool part. But that shows you basically, so this woman who was good, and we wonder, why do bad things happen to good people? It happened here as well. Now, there's going to be a miracle coming, just giving you a little bit of spoiler alert on that capacity. But even with that, we have to understand bad things do happen. We live in a broken world. God is going to restore all things. We see that promise in Scripture, so we will hold on to that. Lydda was near Joppa. I'll show you the map here again in just a moment. So when the disciples heard that Peter was in Lydda, they sent two men to him and urged him, please, come at once. Okay, because they were so close, basically, here is where Dorcas was. She died. This is where they heard that Peter was ministering. And so they sent two guys over here to Lydda to fetch Peter and bring him over to Joppa. We don't exactly know why. It could be that they believed that, oh, bring Peter here, maybe he can do a miracle. That's possible. I think it's maybe more likely that maybe Peter would have heard the story of Dorcas, heard her reputation, and actually would have gone, in a sense, to wanted to be there at her funeral, if you would. They felt like, I believe, Peter's going to want to know this. He's going to want to be here. He's going to want to mourn as well. And so they send for him. And what we find then is he goes. So Peter went with them. And when he arrived, he was taken upstairs to the room. And so in that time, in that culture, they couldn't bury the people right away. And so oftentimes they would have to lay them somewhere. And they would when they would die, if you've been around it, the eyes don't just close, okay, unless you die in your sleep. But the eyelids actually have to be closed. And so the last thing that would have happened is they would have actually closed Tabitha's eyes. And now the first thing that happens here, it's really kind of cool. And Peter goes up to the room, and all the widows around him stood crying. We're going to talk about this in just a moment. Crying and showing him the robes and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was still with them. And Peter sent them out of the room. He got down on his knees and he prayed. He said, turning toward the dead woman, he said, Tabitha, get up. And then what's the first thing she did? She actually opened her eyes. You see the contrast, the antithesis, where it's like the eyes would have been closed because she's dead. And boom, she opens her eyes and seeing Peter, she sat up. But let's look back here just a second. And this is really what I want us to see, a couple of things. One is I want us to notice who's in the room and what those people have. So what we find is around this woman, this Dorcas, who's around her? It's a bunch of widows. It's a bunch of people that didn't have husbands any longer. Their husbands had died, and that was not uncommon in that culture, that the men would die young. These husbands have died. They're no longer there, which leaves the widows alone. There's no income. They have nothing. And what we find, what do these women have? They have a bunch of these garments that this Dorcas would have put together. And I believe, it doesn't say this specifically, this is my belief on it, they would have actually given in to these women. And so these women had these garments, maybe for themselves to wear, maybe for themselves to be able to sell and make a profit because they have nothing else for a source of income. Here you have this woman who sees the needs of these widows, and she's meeting the need. Not necessarily, hey, these widows need food. She doesn't give them food, but she takes what she can do, which is to make wonderful clothing. She's got such a skill with it, and she takes it and she gives it to them. They can take it, they can wear it, they can take it, they can sell it, they can make their profit, they can feed their families. And they're taking these garments and they're showing them to, look at Peter, look at what this woman did, look at how she did, she gave so sacrificially. This is all she was about, was us, because we couldn't care for ourselves. She cared so deeply for us. And they just showed them. It's like, this woman was amazing. I don't know when Peter made the decision or was led by the Spirit to go and to pray. I don't have those answers, but we see what he went and did. He goes and he prays. He says, Tabitha, get up. She opened her eyes. Seeing Peter, she sat up. He took her by the hand and helped her to her feet. Then he called for the believers, especially the widows, and presented her to them alive. Especially the widows. Those were the ones she had impacted so deeply. Who are you impacting in these difficult days? Who are you impacting? It doesn't have to be even profound, but who are you taking the time to reach out to and just to care and to love and to let them know it's like, wow, you're not alone. This is the church. It's what we're about. That's what we have to do. And it's not because we have to do it because we have to do it. We do it because we love Jesus. All right, I'm going to wrap it up here with a couple of things. One is, many of you saw the email, many of you know, we lost our brother Jerry Case this past week. Jerry was a neat guy. And I had several conversations with Patricia this past week. And if you think of her, reach out to her. And I know many of you already have. Good work. But there's such a cool story. And Jerry had shared part of this story with me, but not all of it. Before he had passed, he would come into my office at least once a week, and he would come and he would collect Bibles is what he was actually doing, and we were providing him. Yeah, okay, we'll find some more. We brought up some Gideon Bibles, we got him some Spanish Bibles. I mean, he was handing out these Bibles. I'm pretty sure his wife actually thinks that he may have accidentally given away her Bible. We don't know that for sure, but it's looking like that. It's a possibility. Anyhow, he was so adamant about spreading out the word of God. One of the things that he did, he had the ability to see people, see what they needed, and to love them well. In a local business here in town, he walked in And it's a small business, and it was kind of low lit. And he told me the story of this woman who's working behind the counter, and it's like it was so dark and dim. He kind of said, "Well, how do you see?" He's like, "Well," she says, "I get by. It's dark, but I get by." He left the establishment at that point. He goes to the local thrift shop. He finds a desk lamp. He buys the desk lamp, and then he immediately goes back and he delivers the desk lamp back to this local business establishment. It's just, like I said, it's a small business. And the lamp is set on the desk. It's turned on, and she's got light. That seems so simple. Well, Jerry's wife, Patricia, tells me, relays this story to me after he had passed this last week. And I'd heard, again, this part of it. But she tells this, she goes in to the same establishment, and she informs the lady there that Jerry had passed. And the clerk says, "Oh, I remember him. He's the one that brought me this lamp." You know, so even what Jerry did, it lives on. His legacy lives on. But then he said something really cool. And she said this to Patricia. "Oh, he always talked about how much he loved you." And what a blessing that was to Patricia at that time, to be able to take that legacy that Jerry had and to continue to carry it over. That was a gift from the Holy Spirit. All orchestrated ahead of time. You see God's hand even in the scriptures, where what God is doing in Joppa and what he's doing in Lydda, and it's intentional that they end up coming together for what he's doing together for Tabitha. We live in a broken world. I said that before. Fear, it's easy to be gripped by fear. But we don't have to be afraid. We can be at peace. We even read in the scriptures, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding. And so I want to articulate it like this. It was a Halloween. My kids were pretty young. In fact, my third born, Carissa, may have been a baby, like an infant in a car seat. And my son would have been maybe 3 years old, give or take on that. We're over at some friend's house. Trick-or-treaters were coming to the door, and he loved it when they would come to the door because he kind of wanted to see who was coming to the door, see their costumes and things like that. But as a young boy, you know, he just had an infatuation with all this stuff. Well, the doorbell rang, and so he goes and he stands right in front of the door, ready to see these kids in their costumes. And when my friend opened his door, in jumps this man who my friend knew, was another friend of his, we didn't know, in a scary mask. He jumps into the house, and my son just turned pale, and he turned, and he ran, and he jumped in my lap, and he screamed, and he buried his face into my chest, and all I could do was wrap my arms around him. He was scared to death. Some of us might be scared to death. Where do we go when we're scared to death? We go into the lap of our Father. He wraps his arms around us and he says, basically, "It's all right. I've got you. I surround you with my peace." It's the peace that we can only find in Jesus Christ. If you're struggling to find peace, may you find peace this week. May you find peace even in the midst of the chaos and the turmoil that's going around you. My prayer for you is that you will find peace. What we see in this church and how it experienced peace, it wasn't because it was some magical, happy feeling. It was because people were able to recognize there are needs and I can meet those needs. It wasn't perfect. Tabitha died. That's not perfect. That doesn't seem peaceful, but yet it says in the midst of it, they were experiencing the peace, and they were experiencing the peace because Tabitha loved Jesus and she served because she loved Jesus. Church, rise up. Do not be afraid. Be ready to wrap your arms around that which needs to have your arms wrapped around. Maybe it's your kids. My wife is going around the house and saying, "I am not practicing social distancing in our home." And she's hugging our kids a little bit more often and a little bit longer. And my children have buried themselves in their bedrooms. But the reality of it is the same. Let the peace of Jesus surround us. Step into his embrace and just allow his peace. That's the only thing we have sometimes. But when you feel his peace, be ready then to also share that peace with others. That's what the church is to look like. We can do this, church. We can live the life that God has called us to. And we can do it together. We can stay connected. We're in this together. You are part of the family. We need each other. If you need help, call the church office. If you know someone that needs help, help them. Let's see, call the church. We can find resources if we need to. But we're in this together and we'll figure this out. And it's because of him. He's going to do some great things, some really crazy great things. Will you pray with me? Lord, there's so much going on that may leave us feeling agitated, that may leave us feeling fearful, as my son was when that came running through the door. It's like fear just gripped him. And he turned and he knew right where to go. And he turned and he ran and he jumped into my lap. May we do the same. When we're feeling this idea of, I don't know what to do. Lord, by your Spirit, lead us to turn and jump into your arms and say, okay, I've read Matthew 6. I'm still feeling afraid. I jump into your arms, Lord. That's all I've got. But then let's not forget how we can help bring that peace to others. Our world needs what we have to offer. They need you. Oh God, be the God of peace right now and do something great, even in what appears to be total chaos. Do something great, and we eagerly expect it. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, church. Have a great rest of your Sunday. We look forward to connecting with you again next Sunday, maybe even live streaming.